Old Testament reading is from the book of Malachi, chapter 4, verses 1 to 4, and can be found on page 962 of the Church Bibles. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left of them. But for you, who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and leap like calves released from a stall. Then you will trample down the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I do these things, saith the Lord Almighty. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please stand, then we'll have the gospel reading. I think Alison's playing.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ from Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 34, and it can be found in the Church Bibles on page 1007. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered round him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him. My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that the power had gone out of him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to God.
Her mind to hear what you have to say to us. Speak, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Please do sit down. Well, it's delightful to be here. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Jeremy, if you're still here. Thank you, everyone, for inviting us to be here. It's a delight and a pleasure. So I've already told you a little bit about Helen and I. Helen and I have been married 49 years, and we've been around a bit. So we met in Leeds at university, and then I went to Glasgow to study a bit more. Helen went to Italy and brushed up her Italian. And then we were married not long after that, went as soon as we were married, we went to Sweden, where I finished up a PhD in biochemistry. Then we came back to Cardiff, then we went to London for 3 years, then we went to the States for 3 years, then we came back to Liverpool, and we were there for 7 whole years. In that time, we have 4 children. 2 were born before we went to the States, and then 2 later. So Helen's had a career in teaching. We say no, you didn't. Helen taught English as a foreign language and then Italian at school, and I pursued a career in scientific research. First of all, academic research in opioid receptors and pain, and then I jumped ship into the pharmaceutical industry and was working with Pfizer's new compounds as they were taken to their first studies in people. My group was responsible for understanding how quickly those compounds were absorbed, how quickly they were removed from the body, and their metabolism, what became of them. It was very sensitive, very technical work, and it was great. So I had a wonderful career in science, and then we were both involved in a church plant in Kent, first of all in Deal, and then we planted again into Sandwich, and we were involved in church planting, and then it was through that I got a call to become ordained. So much later on in life, I was ordained at the age of 55 and did 12, 13 years as a vicar. And now we're here. And it's great. So thank you. So Malachi and Mark and the woman that Jesus met. So this is the first in a series of talks on people Jesus met. And I want to start with Malachi. I don't know whether you've spotted the first song sort of reflected some of those words. The Son of Righteousness. Malachi 4:2 says, "For you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings." With healing in his wings. And I want to refer us back to back into Numbers chapter 15. And Moses asks the Lord, Moses to say this to the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, throughout the generations to come, you are to make tassels on the corners of your garments and a blue cord on each tassel. You will have these tassels to look at, and so you will remember all the commands of the Lord." Now, in the video, if you can be bothered, I suggest you have a look online on YouTube and you look for these video clips. They're all from the TV series called The Chosen, and this one is about, I think they've given the woman the name Veronica, and you can find this clip quite easily, and it's about Veronica and her meeting Jesus. And it's worth a look. And in particular, what she does is she grabs hold of the tassel on his prayer shawl. And he's wearing a blue prayer shawl. And the significance of this is that the word that Malachi uses for wings, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, the Hebrew word that Malachi uses is kanaf, and it's the same word that's used in Numbers to refer to the edge of the garment to which the tassels were attached. So an expectation grew that when Messiah came, based on Malachi's prophecy, when Messiah Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. The expectation grew that Messiah's prayer shawl, the tassels, would have healing powers. That just the tassels on Messiah's shawl would have healing powers. Now, Jesus is a Torah observant rabbi who keeps the scriptural commandments, including passages like Numbers 15, and he will be wearing a prayer shawl, and there will be tassels on that prayer shawl. So, the woman who'd been bleeding for 12 years believed Jesus to be Messiah, with healing in his prayer shawl edges. That's who she believed he was, Messiah. And because she believed he was Messiah, she believed that if she could just reach and touch the edge of his shawl, she would be healed. You might remember another passage in Matthew's Gospel where Matthew writes this: people brought all to Jesus who were ill and begged him to let those who were ill just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. That's Matthew 14. The people who touched his cloak believed Jesus to be Messiah. Now, in many ways, Jesus as Messiah was not behaving as the Jewish authorities, the rulers of the synagogues, expected the Messiah to behave, because he was mixing with the kind of people that you didn't mix with. But Jesus' idea of being Messiah is very different to the Jewish authorities' idea. So the woman reaches out and touches, because she knows who Jesus is. And she knows she is healed, as does Jesus. He stops. He turns around and asks, "Who touched me?" And you'll remember the story, you probably know the story well. The disciples say, "Look, there's loads of people here. Everyone's pushing against you, touching you. How can you possibly ask who touched you?" Jesus says, "I know power's gone out of me." He knew that someone with a faith in his messiahship was around and had reached out in faith to touch. He knew. Now just imagine. This woman has been bleeding for 12 years. She's ritually unclean. And if you just think about the mental state of this woman, she knows she's ritually unclean. She's probably feeling guilty that she's out there in the crowd contaminating people. She's probably angry that she's been ill for so long. She's got shame. People in those days would have thought she'd done something terrible, or her parents had done something terrible that had made her ill. You remember the story when the disciples asked Jesus, why is this person blind? Is it his fault or his parents? Jesus says, nothing to do with that. So she, all these emotions and fear as well are surging in this woman, but yet she's reached out in faith that Jesus is Messiah, that even the tassels of his prayer shawl will bring healing. And most people in her day would do all they could to avoid her. She's ritually unclean, so they would keep a distance. And if she ventures out, she'll be full of conflicting emotions. Guilt, shame, fear, hope. And as a woman with no savings left, unclean, what hope has she of any future? What hope that anyone would give her the time of day? Meanwhile, Jesus is being hurried to get to Jairus' house, where there's a dying girl waiting his attention. What does Jesus do? He stops. He knows she's healed, yet he stops and gives her the time. He knows he could just walk on. He knows she's healed. He stops and he gives her time. He talks with her. He says, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." And his words to her are, "Daughter, you are a cherished and loved child of God. Daughter." And his word to her is, "Go in peace." The word shalom, the peace of God. Go in peace. The peace of God. The peace of being healed. Because she believed who he is and met Jesus, he heals and sends her in peace. And his word to her is, "Be free." Guilt, anger, shame, fear, all replaced by peace, all replaced by her healing. Of course there's work to do. 12 years of that kind of problem is going to leave its scars. It's going to leave its mental problems. The emotional damage that she suffered for 12 years, the physical damage. But she's healed, and that healing will continue. Of course there's work to do, but relationships will be healed. She's no longer permanently ritually unclean. She can re-enter society. She's no longer known by what's wrong with her. She's known by name. A beloved daughter of God, healed with peace and freedom. Now we know, don't we, that we often have faith and we pray. And does healing always come? We know that's not our experience. And I was wrestling with this morning because I knew what I was going to say, but I thought, well, actually, we've got this, your faith has healed you. And so often we ourselves carry the guilt or the shame or whatever it is of, I've prayed for this person, I've prayed for myself, I've prayed for my family, and healing hasn't come. And we wrestle and struggle with this. And I don't have an answer, but I do know that we are called to pray, and I do know that we are called to discern God's will and to pray in faith. And so often it's so hard to hear what God wants us to do, what God wants us to pray for. But I want to encourage us all today to pray for those around us. But I want to come back to Jesus giving this woman time. Because she's a beloved, cherished child of God, he gives her time. And I want to say that's a gift. that we can give, as Jeremy was saying, this is a gift we can give to those around us. We are so often busy rushing around. And something I've been learning over the last 5 or so years is that I am too busy, and I'm a last minute person, as my wife Helen will tell you, and I pack things in. And what I've been learning is that actually I have to not do that. I have to make time in my diary for the spaces, for people. So rather than going to a meeting that's at 7:30, rather than leaving the house, we're only 2 minutes away from the Abbey, or where we often have meetings. Malmesbury Abbey, that's where we go to church. We're only 2 minutes away, so I can leave the house at 7:28 for a 7:30 meeting. But actually, I'm still bad at this, but I try to leave earlier. I try to leave any leave the house always earlier than I think I need to, so that there's time. When I meet somebody in the street, and in Malmesbury you do meet people, all the time, and we walk pretty much everywhere, so we're always bumping into people. And you know, you have these conversations, don't you? Hi, how are you? I'm fine. And what I try to do is just make a little bit more time so that when we have those conversations, there's time to listen to the way the response comes. Because often, when people say, I'm fine, thank you, you can often hear, can't you, that actually things aren't fine. Often there's something up. And I've developed I'll often say, well, you don't sound that fine, you know, not in an accusatory way, or I'll say something, well, that's not so good. Or people say something that it just gives you a chance to say, oh, what's that about? And then you develop a conversation. It takes time. You can't do this if you're rushing somewhere. I'm telling myself here, they take more time for people. But I want to encourage us all to make the time for people. Because then we can say, is it alright if I pray for you? And most people will say, that's fine, thank you. And what they don't expect is what I next say, if I'm being brave enough, and I'll say, can I pray for you now? I've done this in shops, I've done this in the street, I've done it anywhere. And people will mostly say, yes, thank you. So I'll say, is it all right if I put a hand on your shoulder? I say this prayer. Lord God, I'll pick on Helen. Lord God, you know what Helen's problem is. Can you help, please? Amen. Anyone not able to say that prayer? Lord God, you know the problem. Can you help, please? Amen. I've prayed that prayer many times. God has answered that prayer many, many times. I've got stories and stories I could tell of the way he's answered that prayer. And you can do that, and the challenge is make time for people and pray for them. And if they want prayer there and then, you can pray for them at home. Write it in your diary or on a piece of paper to remind you to pray, because I'm very bad at that and I'll forget when I get home. I think I better be winding up, haven't I, Paul? Jesus gave the lady time, and we can give that gift to people around us. So those of us who are able, we can pray, we can reach out and touch, we can kind of metaphorically touch Jesus' robe on our behalf or on other people's behalf. We can uphold people who are unwell, whatever their need is, whether it's sickness, spiritual or emotional pain, whatever. We're reaching out, aren't we, to touch Jesus, the Son of Righteousness, with healing in his wings. So, as I finish, I want to remember that we are beloved. It's not just the lady who's a beloved daughter. We are all beloved children of God. So we ask for faith to trust God for his will to be done. And we receive receive freedom to go with his peace in our hearts. So, as I finish, if you're able and you'd like to, can I ask you to stand, please? So, just imagine yourself in the position of someone you know who needs Jesus' healing in their lives. We all know people. It may be you, it may be a friend, it may be a relative, it may be a neighbour, it may be a child, it may be a situation you know of where there seems to be no way through. So just reach out, and I'd encourage you to do it physically. Just put your hand out. Reach out. And in the quietness, tell Jesus. Jesus, we reach out to you in faith that there is healing in your wings. We trust you and ask you to bring peace and healing and shalom to those we pray for. Jesus, we ask in your precious, powerful name. Amen.